Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Matthew chapter 25. I read for you again these words. He also who had received the one talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed, and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents, and cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. Once again, Jesus teaches that the end is near, even as we wait for Christ's return. Today's gospel follows from and is parallel to the parable of the 10 virgins that we heard last week. The setting is the same. Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives. He teaches his disciples privately. And this parable is one of those in response to the disciples' question, What will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age? Now, it's not all that surprising that many people are interested in the end times. In fact, they're so interested, they're often trying to predict when they will be. And yet, Jesus himself tells us that he does not know when the end will come. Only the Heavenly Father knows this. And this is why the disciples are being exhorted and encouraged through this parable. Just as last week's parable tells the church that the bridegroom delayed in coming, this parable tells us that the man travels to a far country and so delivered his goods to his servants. This man, we are told, is taking a long journey. He entrusts his goods to his servants, and they are to take care of them faithfully. They are to guard them, protect them, use them, and even perhaps generate more of these precious gifts. These servants are symbolic of the disciples who will soon be apostles. The goods that are delivered to them represent the gospel. The man who journeys is, of course, Jesus Christ. The way this parable unfolds is important for the church to see. One servant is given 5 talents, another servant is given 2, and a third servant is given 1 talent. Now, a talent was worth about 20 years' wages for a day laborer. We're told that each of these servants was given according to his ability. The one with 5 makes 5 more. The one with 2 makes 2 more. But the one given the single talent hides and buries it in the ground. The 2 who increase the talents are in the end praised and blessed. The one who hides his talent is punished and cast into outer darkness, the realm of hell. Jesus is teaching these soon-to-be apostles about the apostolic office of preaching, teaching, and administering the sacraments. Each one is given according to his ability. Some have great ability to handle more of the goods given, while others are not able to handle as much. But Jesus gives accordingly, which is a blessing. He doesn't give more than a person can handle. St. Paul speaks of this in his epistle to the Romans. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. While Christ's parable is telling the disciples to be diligent with the gospel that is given to them for the sake of the apostolic ministry and for the church, this also bears itself out in our lives. The entire church is made up of many members of the body of Christ. You are all part of Christ's body. We can see in these words of Christ that we are to be diligent in this Christian faith. St. Paul tells the Thessalonians something that sounds very contemporary. They too were pondering the end times, and St. Paul responds by saying, "For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, 'There is peace and security,' then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober." On the broader perspective of the parable, how many of us are guilty of not doing anything with the spiritual goods that Jesus has left for our use? Now, it is somewhat interesting that the servant who was given the one talent says what he does to the master. "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." How unfortunate that this servant did not rightly know his master. The church can learn something from this. Most people do not really want to get too close to God and the church because they feel as though they cannot live up to God's requirements. They don't want to see their sins and their failed attempts to be holy and God-pleasing. They do not rightly understand the Lord. But who can live up to God's requirements? No one, with the exception of Jesus Christ. So there's a barrier that needs to be broken down when the church and the saints encounter those who do not believe. The barrier is not understanding Jesus correctly. This is why the Gospels are so often preached on in the divine service. We do not need talks on how to live better lives. We need to see, ponder, and hear Jesus. Who is he? What is he doing? And why is he doing it? The Christian existence is to be in fellowship with Jesus. We gather to hear His words of forgiveness and to learn ever more just how forgiving He is. This poor servant did not understand his Lord. It is true, of course, that if we live in unrepentant sin, then we should rightly be afraid of Jesus and the judgment. We must remember that if we're not worried about sinning, then we should be afraid. But if we continually study and ponder Jesus' life and His teachings, then we should know that we have been joined together with a loving and merciful Lord. Where there is repentance for sins, Jesus is quick to forgive. Remember Jesus' words elsewhere where He says, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So if you feel that you're the chief of sinners, then get in line with the rest of us, because we would all be guilty before God. But the Jesus Christ of the Scriptures will supply you with faith through the use of the gospel. His encouragement for us is that we faithfully tend to God's word and learn it. Jesus gave the gospel to His servants so that we can get closer to Him. Through the gospel and its proclamation, we come to know Jesus better, more intimately, and we come to the realization that His blood atoned for our sins and we are forgiven. And in this discipline of attending to the gospel, we are then better able to understand ourselves. We see the sinful world as it really is. This often means seeing our sins, but this leads us to rejoice in our salvation through Christ alone and in His forgiveness of sins. Studying Jesus is not just an intellectual endeavor, nor is it a one-time thing. Christ crucified is to be preached continually in our churches because we continually need to ponder how it is that God would descend from heaven, become a man, fulfill the law, and die on our behalf. Just learning this intellectually one time is not enough. Each time we ponder this, we are drawn into Him, into His love. And you see over and over again that no matter how great your sin is, Jesus loves you still. As long as the gospel rings forth in your midst, you know that Jesus is forgiving you and making you stronger until He comes again to bring you to Himself in heaven. To Him be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.